Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Guillermo Mascio, I did this interview with Elizabeth Isaacs, a friend of Audra's, and this was recorded on the plaza on a little bit of a windy day here in July, going out to the memory of Audra Houston here on the Without a Roof radio program.
She was a friend of mine for a couple of years. I've seen her go through the throes of recovery, but above all, she was a really good person, a good mom, a good friend. She would, you know, help you out with anything she had, even if she had nothing. And her words of advice, you know, touched me at times when I was in my deepest sorrows. You know, I will miss her. She was close to me, but I hope that her children know what a wonderful person and a woman that she was. And, you know, she's in a better place above all. So we love you, Audra, and we'll miss you.
Audra, I met at actually the Iverson Center, and she was just really pleasant and friendly and down to earth. And I always thought that her auburn long hair was so stunning and beautiful, and she was just a really pleasant, sweet person. And she had struggles, and, you know, she was the mom of two boys that she'd talk about constantly, and she liked animals. And she was my roommate at the local Torres shelter, and actually I'd encouraged her to go there because she had problems trying to find a place where she could stay, and people would often offer her places to stay, but, you know, there'd always be some price to pay for it, and usually it was guys, so you can figure that out. But
yeah.
She was such a sweet, trusting person, and so she, she just always thought someone would help her, and, looks like maybe, you know, the wrong person she went with one night obviously ended up tragically and savagely, and it's a shame that, you know, somebody who's just such a beautiful person would come to that kind of end at such a young age. And, you know, I hope she's in a better place now, but it's heartbreaking for her children.
I consoled a young woman today who was a friend of Audra Houston, the murder victim in the Safari Inn case. The last three people murdered in Chico were all without a roof. The violence against people without homes is largely ignored as a community issue requiring urgent attention. Rape, assault, and violent theft are all part of the daily struggle to survive and stay safe on the street. The next time you're sitting at home, driven to fear by the TV news, think about how frightening it would be without the safety and comfort of your home, living on the streets, harassed by the police, and victimized all too often. All right, Guillermo Mass here for the Without a Roof Radio program, dedicated to the young woman that lost her life on July 12th. And I'm really pleased to have a panel of two here in the studio that we're going to talk about this issue in the context of how beautiful a person Audra was and some of the situations she faced and domestic violence for certain. And we have Alyssa from Catalyst Domestic Violence, and Shelley Watson from the Jesus Center. And I think I'll just start with you, Alyssa, and just kind of, you know, welcome yourself to KZFR and give us a little insight on what you do for Catalyst, and then we'll get going with the panel here.
Absolutely. So I am the community educator for Catalyst Domestic Violence Services. We provide a lot of prevention and intervention services in Butte County, and my role essentially is to go out into the community and talk to people about domestic violence and healthy relationships.
Shelley, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I work at the Jesus Center, Director of Services for the center. I oversee the Resource Center, the Sabbath House, the Women's Shelter, and our newest program, the Housing Programs.
And you just opened a house for women that are pregnant, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we have the House of Hope is single women. We have Sage House, which is elderly women, Myrtle House, women and children. The Lily House is pregnant women, and a men's house, Birch House.
I can't help but mention that I know that Claudia actually had a baby fairly recently. So that home for women that are pregnant is just vital. So maybe some comments from you, Shelley, on this unfortunate incident.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a tragedy. It was sad for everybody here. I think for the amount of women I have seen over the years, there's definitely that situation of danger out there for them, being on the streets. There's a lot of domestic violence, sexual assault. You've got addiction. But, you know, I agree with you, and I have actually written it in our own statement for ourselves and the women, and I include myself when I say ourselves. I feel like I am them.
Yeah, me too.
Is that
community. We're all community.
Our stories don't define us. Mm-hmm. We are human, and usually that's the journey we went through. But addiction, homelessness, all of it, that does not define who we are.
Alyssa, and what's your initial comments and thoughts to share with our listeners at KZFR?
I think it's a tragedy when any life is lost, and I think it's really important to recognize, in any situation, but this one in particular, that this was a woman whose life had meaning. She had friends, she had family, she had a community, and my heart absolutely breaks for the people who love her. And it feels especially disconcerting because this was a death that didn't need to happen. There's no excuse for this, and now it's really up to us to figure out what to do from here. Where do we take this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else?
Absolutely. You know, and her nickname was Audie, and you can find her on Facebook. I think most people may have tried doing it, but I think it's an important thing to do for folks that are listening that want to know a little more, because it focuses a lot on her kids. Mm-hmm. And this is a tough subject, I think, for everyone, including me. But I want to do a little bit of paneling right now. This is from a good friend of mine, Tammy Donaldson, who knows a lot of folks that have been homeless or experienced homelessness, and she's seen a lot of these tragedies unfold. But her point was this: can we say mother of two found murdered, believe neighbor found murdered? How about woman found murdered? Was she even homeless at the time? Working in exchange for a room, is that homeless? She was much more than her housing status. Her family, her children deserve a better legacy than that, don't you think? I know my aunt was an amazing lady with an interesting story and a loving family left behind. Yet every single article from every source to be found says, homeless woman found murdered. And it's only words, but it bothers me a bit. Audra was more than homeless. We are memorialized. Someone matters, at least to the family. How will we memorialize someone? Who'd like to start on that? Alyssa?
Yeah, I'll take it. So I have similar feelings in regards to a lot of the headlines surrounding Audra's death. In many ways, it almost feels like an attempt to minimize what happened to her.
Yeah.
This isn't taken seriously the way that it would if it was a woman who was not living on the streets, who didn't have a history of addiction.
Shelley?
Well, Bill, I didn't know Audra personally, but from what I've heard from the stories, you know, in the headlines, you know, she was in a hotel. She had stayed in a shelter. Technically, she didn't have a lease in her name, which gives her permanent housing. But in my opinion, that doesn't mean she's actually homeless.
Mm-hmm.
She was a single woman who's struggling with addictions, is what I've gathered. And I see that she was in a room, and then there was somebody who was the perpetrator who violated her,
mm-hmm.
who went against him, went in that room. It wasn't her just being on the street. So, yeah, I don't agree with the headlines, homeless woman.
Mm-hmm.
Murdered. It was just a woman who was tragically murdered.
I actually haven't seen a personal headline yet on this that was titled that way. So she may have been talking about prior incidents, or maybe there's something out there I haven't seen. Although I was mentioned to Alyssa in the green room that I did see kind of a follow-up from one of the broadcast news. And if anyone follows my show, I'm not a big fan of broadcast TV news. But they said, we know more about the victim, and she abused drugs. I mean, I'm, you know, basically that was the tenet, and not explaining anything. about her personally. This is also someone, this is from Amy Abernathy, and she writes, I knew Audrea personally, She was just a young woman who was trying to everything in her power to survive each, She had two beautiful boys at home and had just had another baby less than 2 weeks prior to this horrendous act of violence. I can't even comprehend the amount of pain and suffering those children will have to deal with for the rest of their lives. She was a beautiful soul who was just like a lot of other houseless people here in Chico. Nobody cares about the homeless. We're all looked and treated like we are scum of the earth. Maybe it's a good kind of point to pivot to that point, that final point of, you know, how people view each other in society, Alyssa.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel like a lot of people sort of display a lack of empathy in these situations. A lot of times people tell them, you know, this would never happen to me. If I was in a situation, I would do this or that differently as a way to sort of distance themselves from it. And as a way to reassure themselves, too, that this wouldn't happen to me. This wouldn't happen to my loved ones. It only happens to certain kinds of people, which isn't true.
No, it certainly isn't. And I know it crosses many different, I call it a marginalized community. You know, if this person had been, you know, gay or straight or Christian or Muslim, I mean, it really doesn't matter at that basic level. Shelley?
Yeah, I have to agree. No matter, you know, like you say, Christian, Muslim, whatever happens, or however you want to define them, that's not who the person is or was or what was happening. Where they live isn't their story. It's the addiction part isn't their story. It's just a struggle that some go through. I honestly am, I just really don't know what to think about it because it just reminds me of so many other stories I know of people who have been classified as homeless. People look the other way. They talk negative about them. And I've seen one person after another in front of my eyes just blossom because it just takes reaching out to them and actually listening to them. And then when you hear what they've been through, you understand them a little more. And some of it's, you know, traumatic that they've been through. And they just need someone to care about them.
Yeah, and their entirety of their life pretty much is played out in public space.
Yeah, and it's hard.
No, you know, doors to close to kind of get some space or no way to kind of set safe boundaries. You know, people walk into a situation, you know, it's really, really tragic.
And when you are on the street as someone who's labeled homeless and, you know, you can't be here and you can't be there, you don't know where to go and where's it safe, there's one thing I do know in the human flesh is we cannot be invisible. And there are times where many have told me they just wanted to be invisible because they don't know what else to do, but that's not reality. That won't happen. And so... Because that won't happen, we have to come up with some solutions.
Yeah. I'll read one more, and then I'm going to get to some segments I've produced on the street that'll focus a bit on the violence against women, houseless or otherwise. But Audra was my friend. I also knew her mom, Ginger, and I'm so sad this happened. Audra has the most beautiful smile. She will be missed dearly. She is heaven with her mom. Hmm. Maybe it's a good time to transition to these pieces I mentioned that I've recorded here in my travels around Northern California, interviewing folks around houselessness here on People Power Radio.
I've had people come up and say, you would never survive. The streets are just too mean for you. And maybe they're right, but, you know, you run across some really, really, really good people. You see a lot of struggling, a lot of suffering, and you know, we all think we've struggled through our lives until, you know, there's nothing more hard than being homeless. Nothing. And I've been through some rough times in my life, and that I would never wish anything upon. But being homeless until you experience it, you really have no idea. And I come from where, you know, I've always been able to take care of myself and other people. And
here's an interview with a woman, I would say, early 40s. Who was obviously down and out on the plaza, making food for a bunch of people, clothes strewn about. But she just had a presence and a way about her that was, you know, stronger than steel. And her name, her street name was Stormy Knight. And I think it really fits to this memorial show and this show around violence against women, just to hear this woman's story. And what she's had to deal with being homeless on the streets.
How do you turn negatives into positives? You've made a lot of nice comments about being as upbeat as you can be. How do you do that? What's up?
With all the bad stuff that's happened to me in my life, I've had to learn how to take every negative and find the positive in it because it'll kill me otherwise. For example, I was raped because there was another girl out there that it might have happened to who would have been suicidal. Or I was on my way to get hit by a car. You know, there are bigger, better, badder reasons why bad things happen to me. And to dig deep inside and find those negative things and eke them out and put them into a positive helps me get through my day, makes me wake up when I do sleep, and it helps me make other people smile because it's all I want to do in life.
What one thing do we need to know right here, right now?
People need to stop looking through us and look at us. Plain and simple. Look us in the eyes.
Anything you could share about, you know, the dangers and the horror of being homeless as a woman on the street?
Well, it is hard because, you know, we're not physically as large or strong. And, you know, I did talk to Audra on two occasions about getting some bear spray or mace or pepper spray or wasp spray, something. And then eventually she did show me that she had some pepper spray on a rope around her neck, but who knows, maybe defending herself could have even been the reason why things escalated to the point of death.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's horrible, especially for myself. I mean, I can relate. I'm 4'9". I'm 46. I've never been married. I don't have any children. It's tough. It's tough out here for women. And, you know, it's especially in a culture where it feels like everybody's so competitive, and we live in an environment where they explicitly tell us that, you know, one day we can reenter society. And it's kind of shocking to me that, you know, I didn't realize we'd been kicked out. But, yeah, it's kind of, you got to look out for yourself because nobody else is going to.
All right, thank you. That was Regina June. She was at the top of the show, and that was just her sharing her experience. But, you know, when I interviewed her, it was about, you know, talking about, the Miss Houston, but she wanted to make sure people knew what it was like to be, you know, in that situation. So I want to turn this over to Alyssa and just give us some insights on the whole tragedy of domestic violence.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, domestic violence or intimate partner violence is incredibly common. About 1 in 3 people will experience domestic violence at some point in their lifetime. For women who are experiencing homelessness, that number is much higher. In fact, for a lot of women in abusive relationships, they are often put in situations where they are forced to choose between staying in the relationship, which is dangerous, or not having a home to go to at the end of the day. About 64% of women who identify as homeless have also experienced domestic violence at some point in their lifetime.
I have had this, for folks who's joining with us, that was Alyssa, the community outreach person for Catalyst Domestic Violence. But I know you and I did an interview about last fall, but I remain stunned how often I'm having conversations with folks around this issue. And
yeah,
women themselves will say, this has happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredibly common.
I try to educate around that point, you know, to say everyone's homeless by choice, and someone that's homeless by choice, domestic violence, they chose to live in a bush instead of being beaten up at home. You
exactly.
can't get a better understanding of what they're dealing with than that. And also, folks, just joining, we have Shelley Watson from the Jesus Center. And what do you have to say around the domestic violence and the violence against women clients that you see at the Jesus Center, or your personal experience?
Well, it's interesting. I don't have an exact number for the women in the shelter currently that are up there, but I would say just offhand, there's probably a third of them are there for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, just walking around the Jesus Center, I saw several people coming in with black eyes. I was like, what's going on out there? You know, I don't know if it's a relationship issue, but there's definitely domestic violence, all kinds happening.
Yeah, I saw someone I know really well. I was as sad as, I won't say the names, but it's the first time I've seen him in like a psychotic break, and I was helping him out. He came into one of the local bars, but he had a black eye. That was part of my conversation around him.
Yeah.
And he was involved with a violent theft. You know, someone like beat him up and took his bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally had just walked all the way yeah. back into town and was really traumatized by all of that.
Yeah.
But I know, not to quote numbers, but in many localities, and it might even be Chico, first or second is domestic violence. It's very, very often the number one reason a female's gone homeless is.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed someone in my early days here in Chico that literally the only reason she was in Chico is she was on a duck hunt with her boyfriend, and he beat the hell out of her. And she became homeless in Butte County because that happened to be where they were duck hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But those stories are just so prevalent. You know, it really makes you have a pause on that. You know, anything else to say maybe around what Catalyst Domestic Violence Services does within the community?
So Catalyst offers a variety of services. We're probably most well-known for our safe housing program. So we do provide confidential emergency shelter to individuals who have an immediate safety concern in their relationship. We also have a 24-hour hotline available. That number is 800-895-8476. In addition, we also offer free counseling services to anybody who identifies as a survivor of intimate partner violence. And we also offer legal advocacy as well, which usually looks like help with temporary restraining orders.
What about speaking for the Jesus Center, Shelly, all the wonderful programs they have to offer for women?
Well, we definitely offer the shelter, which is a safe space for women and children to stay there for up to 6 months. And then we've, you know, been expanding this housing program because what we see is that once the women, you know, if they've been there 6 months or they're coming from Catalyst, they're coming to Salvation Army or Torres, is where's the next step? And so we're bringing people together for affordable housing, similar to a roommate situation. And our goal in these houses is to create harmony and protect the environment and the integrity of the house. So we have several houses totally full right now with the women and the children, and we don't allow visitors for this reason, is so they can come home and feel safe, their kids can feel safe, and they can restart their lives. So, you know, and we've got the men's house and the elderly ladies' house, and we have the resource center and the farm and the meals, of course, and clothing. And I know there's a little bit more. I'm probably drawing a blank right now. It's been a long day and a busy day down there.
Well, it was such a blessing because I interviewed Laura Kutsuna on a show here about 6 weeks ago. But when I first got to Chico in late 2012, there was a Sabbath House and there was a Jesus Center. So it's just amazing how much great work the Jesus Center's done since the end of 2012. All these homes have opened.
Yeah.
And I know a decent amount of the women that have been helped by your programs. And they're literally lifesavers.
Well, House of Hope started 4 years ago, and that was the first one. And at that same time, we actually, you know, I pitched the idea to Sir Optimus about some money for starting the flower cart, Bloomin' Hope. Because what I saw was the women, not only were they looking for housing, but being around the center all day, they also needed a purpose. And they also I needed to find a way for them to be downtown and be a part and feel like they're a part of the community. And so that's what we do with Bloomin' Hope. And it's interesting to watch these women just blossom being downtown and co-mingling with, you know, people coming on their lunch hour, professionals, anybody coming by, people from the plaza. It could be anybody. And the ones that don't want to be in public help at the other end. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of was the idea behind Bloomin' Hope, is because, and once again, it'll say on our cards, we have something called Our Story. Is our stories and the stuff we have experienced in our lives do not define who we are. Mm-hmm. We're still human beings. We're still ourselves, and we're a part of this community.
Yeah, I love the Bloomin' Hope. It's just people, you know, it's really cool. They're just there working, selling flowers, and they always seem to be really happy doing so. What better thing to do than sell flowers on Easter or Mother's Day, huh?
Right. So, and it's so therapeutic and creative. Can't go wrong with that.
Here is the panel question. The woman had called in who had presented. She said she's handicapped, so it seemed like she felt like really a little bit disconnected on how she could help. I mean, maybe I'll go start with you, Alyssa. You know, how can folks help, irregardless of whether they're handicapped or not? How can they get plugged into Catalyst? Then I'll shift over to the JC.
That is an excellent question, and there are a variety of ways that people can make a difference in their community. Catalyst, personally, we're big advocates of healthy relationships, and that can include simply talking to your friends, to your family members about healthy relationships, what respect looks like in a relationship, how to support people who are experiencing violence in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I should also say that even though our hotline is available to people who are experiencing abuse in their relationships, it's also a good resource for anybody who has any sort of general question about domestic violence, or for people who want to know how to have that conversation with friends and family.
I'd like to offer a way for our listeners to help, and that is I do a show every Friday evening, 6 to 7 p.m., called The Chico Vibe, and I'm going to re-air this broadcast. So if you've got friends and family, loved ones, neighbors, folks that you think that would really appreciate to hear more about this topic and to learn more about how they can get involved, have them listen in. The Chico Vibe here on KZFR 90.1 FM this coming Friday between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m. Shelly from the Jesus Center?
There's lots of ways to help there, too. We have a volunteer application on our website now. And if you go to thejesuscenter.org, click on volunteering, there is a whole list of different areas and ways to volunteer. If you want a more one-on-one level, mentoring.
Mentoring's beautiful.
Mentoring is awesome. We've been doing that since we started House of Hope. We've partnered people in our houses with people throughout the community. And that is, a mentoring can become a friendship, but it's also someone that speaks wisdom and guidance. And they're the encourager and the cheerleader to help somebody when that person's saying, I can't, they're right there saying, I can.
And Terry's, I know she said it publicly, but Terry's a mentor, correct? Terry DuBose?
Yes.
Yeah. And I've seen Terry do an awful lot of work. Work is the right term, out in the plaza helping people.
Yeah. The mentoring, one-on-one relationships has really proven to be successful. It's meaningful. And our hopes are to grow that in the next few months.
All right. Well, wonderful having you ladies on. And I brought in some copies of the Homeward Street Journal to bring back to organizations. But once again, we've been listening to Alyssa from Catalyst to Mexican Violence and Shelley Watson. And tune in. You know, talk to your friends. Have them tune in on to the radio station on Friday. We're going to do a replay of this. And just God bless Claudia Houston and all of her friends and family in these times of struggles. And thank you for listening to KZFR 90.1 FM.
My experience out here, you know, I met a lot of people in a lifetime. You know what? The most real people that I have found are the people that have been down here and have experienced the different things in life. Some of them have been raped. Some of them have been murdered. I mean, been through murders, seen murders, have used drugs, drink alcohol 24/7. They have to wake up to have one. And, you know, their experiences in a lifetime are what contribute to what they're going through right now. Sure, there's help out there. A lot of them don't want to face it. A lot of them don't know how to. They do know how to, they'd rather be right where they're at. There's no responsibility. You have a lot of responsibility out here, though. You have to avoid the officers, you know, try to keep yourself out of jail.
Right.
You know, you have your few choice few that decide to go and steal and rob and thieve from people.
Right.
That is very limited. We have this little old lady that comes through this park every single morning. She has her two dogs. And I'll tell you what, anybody was to hurt that woman or any child out here, there would be 50 people on top of them.
That's what people don't understand. People look out for each other, whether they have a home or not. You know?
They think that the homeless people are bad people. They're not bad people. They're beautiful. They are. They're just human beings that got a bad hand or dealt their own hand and got a bad hand in life.
Sundown makes me shake and shiver. I'm cold until the dawn. The sun will dry away the chill, and I can bask in the warmth of the day. I am the nation's homeless. The ones you don't seem to see. I sleep in the alleys and woods, hidden away from the harassment that comes from fear and misunderstanding. And I walk up and down, speaking aloud, to make you think I'm crazy so you won't bother me. Or I move in the shadows and dwell in my silence. There are many of us all around, and it can happen so suddenly, striking like a disease in the prime of your life, or moving in slowly with age, weakening your grasp on all you hold dear, until there's nothing to warm you. And all that's familiar is gone. Pray for me and for yourself that it doesn't happen to you. Treat me as though you might walk in my shoes.
God bless you, man.
God bless you.
I'll give you a hug.
It's such a good last word.
And that one I wrote in 1978.